And that is really the word that God has put on my heart for us today, is that it's worth the journey. It's worth following God. So I'm going to share a few things around that. And I really trust that you will just allow God to speak to you from the message. Each one of us got a journey. Each one of us is on a different place right now. There are things that you're trusting God for. There are battles. There are things that you stand in faith for. But as we follow God, it is worth the journey. It's worth it. And sometimes we get discouraged and we go through tough times. Then in our church right now, there's some guys that's really, there's many challenges everywhere. I know, I don't know all of you. I know Manus and Janet and Albert and Jerusha and some guys. But some of the guys also there, we're going through a tough time. And the word that's coming out all the time is that God is with us in the boat. And sometimes we're in a storm and you just go through the storm. And it's okay because God is with you in the boat. It's not so much just asking God to take away the storm. Because I realize sometimes God is just, you just want to do a lot of things. You want to do things in my life, in your life. And it's more concerned about where we're at and where our hearts are. And then you're just going straight through. But it's okay. Because God is with you in the boat. I'm just going to pray for us. Father, I thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you that you are a good God. Thank you that we can gather in this new place, Lord, and we can just know that you are God, Lord, and that you've got a plan for each one here. You are busy in our lives, and we honor you, Lord, and we worship you, and we pray, have your way in this place, Lord. Have your way in our hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So just quickly, I want to show you a photo of my family. There we are. That is just outside our house. So it's all pretty normal. Headlamps, night. And they're eating ice cream. We're quite normal. All of us, that's the journey. On the next one, it's quite a long trip. We're fortunate that we can fly here. So that's a blessing. First time that the kids flew. You'll see on the next slide, I took a photo. That's on the airport. This one in the middle, you see, this is just before takeoff. Okay, everything is quiet and peaceful. And then when that plane went, things changed. I got a bit of a fright. There were tears and holding hands and say, it's fine, it's going to be fine. I made the mistake of telling them about 9/11 just the previous week. And they said, Daddy, but how did the buildings collapse? And I said, no, a plane flew into it. And I realized they put two and two together. And they learned about planes being hijacked and all of that. So that wasn't so great. I won't do it again. But I really believe God is taking us into a new season. He's taking us into a new season. It's quite significant that we can be here in a new venue. I remember Manus said that maybe we'll be in the park. Apparently, we can also be in the park. So that's great. I like new things. But I just sense that, specifically for you guys, I actually sense that God is saying it's a new season coming, a season of breakthrough. And just know that God sees you. You're not alone. And He's with you, and He's with you in the journey, and everything is worth it. And sometimes things come into our lives, and we get, fear comes in, or you get phone calls that you don't want to get of stuff that happened, And the devil uses those things to cause fear and to cause confusion in our lives. And then it's difficult just to stand up again and just to walk with God again. For me, I've got an old, my car looks quite nice, but it's old. Okay. And sometimes I pull it out of the driveway and then some of the lights come on the dashboard. but not the fuel light, the airbag light, or the ABS light. And in the past, sometimes when those lights come on, when they come on and I reverse, then there's a fear that's coming in my heart. I say, that's all my money going. It can cost a lot of money to fix those things. And through the years, we had the car now for 6 or 7 years. I know those lights. It's like a ping when you start up. It's like a weird, when that sound goes on, it's like, man, it's just something, my peace is gone. And I realize it's many times it's like that for us. Where a light comes on or something happens and your peace is gone. And you thought you're walking with God, everything is amazing. And then there's stuff that's happening all around us. And God just wants to take us straight through. So now I'm just praying. I said, Lord, you are good and you are faithful. There's two things that stood out for me in the last few years. Also, it's been a tough season, also for our church and where people are at and things that's happening in their lives. It's all real stuff. Praying for work, praying for business, praying for healing, praying for breakthroughs, praying for money. All of that. It's life. Life that happens. And we came to know that God is good and He's faithful. So now I'm just saying, Lord, as I reverse this car, you're with me. And maybe it'll be okay to drive with lights. It's like it's like Christmas lights or something. It'll be fine. And God can pull us through this. And that's the thing. And I remember at a time in my life, there was two things that I really trust God for, was for work and for a wife. I thought, man, that's never going to happen. I don't know how it's going to come through. And afterwards, that happened, and God opened a door for work. I was working as a software developer. Lee was working as an engineer back in the days. And after that, we went through many things. I had an outdoor shop and physical shop and an online shop. And then came into ministry because I just know that this is where God has called me. And this is what He's got in store for me and where I must follow Him. And even that was a difficult decision at the time. I think everywhere, sometimes you must count the cost. You pray through things. And it might be small, it might be big. So you pray through it, and in the end, we can only trust God. But it's worth it. There's nothing else. I've seen it so many times. Guys in my church, they come to me, they say, I want my wife to be at home, and I want this and this, and I'm doing this, and these are all my plans that I made. And I say, let's pray, man. Let's bring it to God. And then God comes and He does something amazing. And He does everything that guy tried to do. God can just come and He can do it. But sometimes things don't change. Sometimes we just go on. And it's tough. I've worked in a tough environment as a software developer. And I remember, I think it was more than a year, just driving to work every day asking God, Lord, I just pray that they won't ask this and this and this. I know the rest. These things I don't know. Every morning. And God was faithful. And then He sent me overseas. I still remember going in Miami, walking into an office there. And my knowledge was very limited. I hope they don't listen to this. But God is good. And I was working there, and I remember one night I had to do a whole project, working right through the night. And somewhere 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, I got a revelation of things, and I changed it, and everything started working. I wasn't sure what I'm doing, but it worked. Yeah, it's IT. If it works, you leave it. So next day my boss asked me, Yaku, why did you do this? And why did you do that? I said, I don't know. I said, it works. And he said, let's test. Did you test this? Did you test that? I said, no, I didn't test it. Now let's test it. And it all works, and that work, and that work, and everything. I said, oh man, this is amazing. Praise the Lord. It's all working. But sometimes it's not happening like that. Sometimes it's just broken, it stays broken. But God is still the same. God is still the same. He's with us through this journey. And I sense when I was preparing for this, I just sense that some of you guys are going through a tough season, and you feel like you're just surviving. You're surviving at the moment. It's like being in a boat and you're floating on the sea, but you can't see land. And you're not sure what's going to happen. And I just sense that God is saying that it's okay. I'm with you in the boat, and we are going somewhere. We are going somewhere. At some time, you're going to see land. You're going to see there's an end to this season. There's a breakthrough that's coming. But hold on to God. Hold on to Him in this season. Even though it's tough and even though you feel like you're just being tossed around by the waves. Don't get out. Don't get out. In a sense, that was a word for someone. I just want to, before I go to the Bible, there's something else that I sense God is telling me, that there's a gift. Don't despise the gift that is inside of you. Sometimes it's something very small, like Don, yeah, he's great. He must be hospitality team every Sunday. Just welcoming guys, that's your gift. Making people feel welcome. Yeah, you must actually be at the door there. making people feel welcome and stuff, that's something that He brings. Some of you bring a word of encouragement, and sometimes we think that it's just the big stuff. And we miss this almost, we think, smaller stuff. Some of you bring wisdom. Some of you, I can talk to you about what's going on in my life, and you can bring perspective in that situation. That is a gift. And don't despise that gift. We had a men's breakfast at our church, and it was next to the road. We were just making boerewors rolls, and there's always a lot of guys just looking for work at Stanley on Saturday mornings. And I told my guys that each one of you, you've got a gift that you can bring. And all that you do, you take your gift, you take a boerewors roll, and you walk to someone and you share your gift. You just bring that word. And the devil want to come and he want to rob us, and he say that we're not worthy, we can't do anything. We're not so skillful. But sometimes it's that small things and that we must bring, and we must just keep on bringing it. And I know that sometimes it's just a small word of encouragement. You can walk into your office. Often we'll pick up stuff from people. We can see that they're down. And we just say, man, I see that something is wrong. I just see you. I see something is not great. That is a gift that you bring. And that is something that God can use to change the situation. So keep on doing that. In the Bible, I just want to read for us in 2 John. Actually, John 3. First John was John the Baptist. He was a great guy. He was there. We found him in the River Jordan, baptizing people and being busy and doing a lot of great stuff. And later on in John 3:25, that's not on the slide, there was an argument between John's disciples and a certain Jew. And they say, you are baptizing and Jesus is baptizing. Everyone is baptizing. What is happening here? It's not only you anymore. And he said this amazing thing. He said in John 3 verse 30, he said, he must become greater and I must become less. He must become greater and I must become less. Even in our lives, Jesus must become greater. We must become less. And then he said in John 3:36, he said, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. We hear these things all the time. And sometimes it doesn't really sink in. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, but God's wrath remains on them. And there's really life in God, life in following Jesus. We all want life to happen. We all want things to work out. I think you do. I certainly do. You want all this stuff in your life and everything must be okay. And that's all life. And we're looking at all kind of places for life. And Jesus said, come to me and you will have eternal life. And later on, the same John the Baptist, you see in Luke 7, verse 12 to 22, Now John is in prison. So things took a bit of a twist in his life. And John's disciples told him about all these things. And calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect someone else?" Remember, John was the one preparing the way for the Lord. He was the one that's saying, this is Jesus coming. And here's John in prison and things are tough. And he's sending his disciples, "Are you the one to come?" We can see how the doubt is settled, came into his heart. And when the men came to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect someone else?" And listen to this. At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, evil spirits, gave sight to many who were blind. The same that's still happening. And so he replied to the messengers, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the good news is proclaimed to the poor." Just tell them what you see. Tell them what you see. And today Jesus is still busy among us. He's still busy around us. There's still things happening. Everywhere I go, I tell the guys, just ask God to open your eyes to what He's doing. And then we can partner with that, and we can just go with that. We don't have to start up stuff and everything new. And God is busy. He's busy. He was preparing this place for us to be here today. He was working. We're not sure what everything is happening in the lives of these people that's working for this hotel. God prepared their hearts. There's something. God is busy. God is busy. Every one of you that's here, God has brought us together. This is not by chance. And then I want to jump to Peter. We know Peter is one of God, Jesus' disciples. Man, he was there. He was there with Jesus, going through all these amazing miracles and testimonies and stuff that Jesus has done. He's been there, standing. And then Jesus got crucified, and we know how he said, "I don't know this man. I don't know him." And we found later on, Peter, where he went back to fishing. In John 21. And it's almost like he's defaulting to stuff that he knew. Just going back to, this is what I can do. I'm not sure what's happening. I'm not sure if this Jesus, what's going to happen now. I'm not sure about my life. And sometimes we even find ourselves in a place like this. We've been running strong. We've been running with God. We see amazing things. And then our life just goes through a dip. And we're not sure anymore. And we run after other things. You know what the devil is an expert at? Let me just interrupt myself there. The devil is an expert at cropping pictures. Maybe, you know, Airbnb. That's a good example. It's going up everywhere. Osmanis. Now, sometimes you go on the website and you see these amazing photos. You see the sea view. But that's all that you see. You don't see on this side where you're going to sleep. You don't see how the door, if you get out of bed, the door must be closed, else there's not enough space. You don't see all that stuff. And sometimes the devil comes and he puts a picture in front of us and says, "This is good, man. You come and you follow and this is all that we see." But he don't tell you everything else that's going to happen. He doesn't tell you about the hardship. He doesn't tell you about the opening doors for just evil and destruction to come into your life. He keeps those things away because he's hiding all of that. He's just cropping the picture. He's using Photoshop like no one else. And he's showing us stuff that looks amazing. And maybe Peter was at a stage, he's confused now. So I've walked with Jesus and all these amazing things that happened. And now Jesus is crucified and I'm not sure anymore. It's amazing that all the words that Jesus spoke before that, of the things that's going to happen. I'm always surprised, but they're just like us. It's human. And yeah, he's going back to fishing, and they probably looking for, well, they look for fish through the night. And it's amazing how Jesus walked onto the beach. And he just came into their story. He just intersecting that story again. Early John 21 verse 4, early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. And he called out to them, he said, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. And maybe Jesus today is walking into our lives and say, "So that's what you're trying? That's what you're busy doing? Are you seeing the results? Are you seeing?" For fishermen, if you ask them, "Do you have any fish?" I don't know, it's a fisherman, there's always an excuse. The bait is not right. The water is too warm or too cold. My brother, he's doing fishing, and man, it's never his fault. That's the blanket rule. Something is not right. And sometimes we come up with all of excuses. We're saying a lot of stuff. You know, like, "No, this is why, this is the excuse, this is that." And I just sense Jesus walking into our lives this morning, and he said, "Okay, maybe you had nights of going after something, and there's just nothing. And just allow me to speak into your situation. Allow me to give you a word. Allow me to give you something." And it's amazing that Jesus were able to say that. He said, "Throw your net on the other side of the boat, and you will find some." Because these guys, they fished through the night for a reason. That was when it was prime time to fish. And in the mornings, they were repairing nets and going sell fish in the village. And that's how it worked. But they, at this time, they just throw. I think they were just desperate. Let's try. "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. And then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him and jumped into the water. And he ran to him. And then later Jesus said, "Bring some fish, let's have breakfast." Jesus didn't start out with saying that, "Okay, so what have you done? What happened? Why did you do it? Why are you guys fishing?" We are easy at asking questions and judging one another, and there's usually some questions that pop up. Well, my three kids, I know. They're very big on everything must be fair. All the pudding was exactly the same size. So that's how I leave it to them to sort it out. They'll make sure it's exactly the same. And we are a lot of, "This is not fair. Why is this happening? What about that?" Sometimes we feel like we don't want to come back to Jesus. We don't want to come back because, "What about this? What about that? What about all this stuff that happened in my life? What about just yesterday? What about that?" And Jesus just walk in and invite him. He said, "Come to the beach. Come eat with me. And bring some fish. Bring something and let's have breakfast." And he started a conversation, and it's amazing how we know how Jesus come and he just say, "Do you love me?" It's almost like he's reinstating Peter again. He's giving him another chance. He asked him three times, and three times he said, I don't know the Lord. I don't know that man that's being crucified." Jesus came and he said, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" Before asking any other questions, before all the other stuff, that why are you here? Why are you fishing, man? And then the amazing thing where Jesus said, "Follow me. Follow me." And I just said, man, it is worth following Jesus. Some of us, we found ourselves at a, sometimes we're just seeking. We just say, we're seeking something to follow. That's where we start out before we meet the Lord. Then when we make a decision, I remember many years ago on a camp, on a sand dune, I was standing there and I saw the cross, and that was the first time where I really realized what God has done for me and that I'm a sinner, I've messed up. That's the first night I went forward and tell the guys, telling a group like this, I say, "I'm following Jesus. I made a decision." and at the church the next Sunday, and then went through ups and downs. And then I remember going up a mountain. Like you heard, I like mountains. And so I meet the Lord. So I walk up the mountain. I was just frustrated. There's a lot of things I'm trusting God for. And I read the Bible. I don't see this stuff happening. I was so frustrated. And I shouted out. I said, Lord, rock my life. I won't shout it now. But that time, I said, Lord, rock my life. Just do something. Change something. Here I am. Things can't just go on like this. And that next week, I got baptized with the Holy Spirit. And this a new journey, a journey with God, just started out. And you know, it was just amazing. And through the years, I've realized that I've made so many mistakes. But at any moment, God can come and He can do so much more than I can ever dream or imagine. So I trust that we can all start at a place where we start this journey. But then, it's a place of where we grow in the Lord. We grow as we follow. We're becoming more like Jesus. And God is changing stuff, and he usually challenged me on certain things, not everything at the same time. Just one thing. One thing, and I just work on that. And ultimately, we can get to a place where we surrender our lives to God. And say, Lord, this is what I have. These are my resources. These are my stuff. This is my time. This is my business. This is who I am. I surrender it to you. And never, ever I felt used, if that makes sense. Never have I ever done something for God or feel that God owes me something back. God is no man's debtor. He sees everything. God knows who did the setup, who prepared the venue, who prepared next door. Nothing go unnoticed. Nothing. And even our lives, sometimes we feel like, I just sense that some of us, we feel like we've been doing this, or someone in your life that you're just giving them something, you're supporting someone, and you feel like it's going unnoticed. Nothing go unnoticed with God. Nothing is unnoticed. And he rewards us. Sometimes the reward doesn't look like we just comes in his special package. Sometimes just whatever, just being here, this is a reward. This is great. This is great. And I just quickly wanna jump to Luke, because I just want to show you something of the heart of God. That I really, really want us to, in this journey, where everyone is at a different place, and that is fine. Don't feel that you must now perform and do stuff. Just be yourself, but draw closer to God. Reach out to Him, and He will come, and He will draw closer to you, and you will experience God. It's amazing how Jesus, tax collectors and the Pharisees and the sinners, they didn't like Jesus. Because Jesus was everywhere. He was found in unexpected places. I love it. It's always amazing to see where Jesus is walking and where he's busy and where he's in the streets. And he's always touching people that in those times, they were the unclean or the outcasts. Jesus are there. And he's touching these guys and he's spending time with them. And the others, they couldn't understand it. They couldn't understand Jesus. And in Luke 15, we found now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they muttered. They said, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. This is like dawn. He welcomes us. I said, Jesus welcomes. Sometimes each of us, when you're not welcome, you can feel, we all know that place where we can step into somewhere and it's a bit awkward. Or everybody's talking, but they're not talking to me. And you're not feeling welcome, even in a crowd. Maybe here today, you're sitting here and you're not sure. And Jesus comes in, and this is what the other guy said, this man welcomes sinners in each of them. Jesus welcomes us, each one of us, he welcomes us. When you come through the door, he welcomes you into this house, into this family. And then we see the parable of the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost sons. It's actually one parable that Jesus was sharing. And we often just say the prodigal son. But there's so much more. I'm not going to read the first part. You guys can go and read it. It's really worthwhile. But how, the first thing is the one sheep that got lost. And you say the 99 righteous ones, I'll leave here. I will go look for that one. I will go look for that one. And then we celebrate. When one sinner comes to Jesus, there's a celebration. When I came to Jesus, there was a celebration in heaven. You guys caused a party in heaven. You might not know it. That's what the Bible is saying. When we come to Jesus, there's a celebration in heaven. That's amazing. And then it goes on and just see the heart of God. The second one, let me just add, the lost coin. That lady, she had all these coins, it was precious. And when she lost one, and she just stopped everything and she's looking. And I realized that's also something of God. He's looking for us. He's looking. He's looking. You are on God's heart. You are on God's heart. And then we see the lost, I like to call it the lost sons. So Jesus continued in verse 11, there was a man with two sons. The younger said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. So both these guys, they wanted to make it in life, both sons. The young guy, he was the rebellious one. He just went up front and said, just give me my stuff. And not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had, and he set off for a distant country, and he squandered his wealth. And after he had spent everything, there was a famine, so he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. And in verse 17, when he came to his senses, listen to this, he said, how many of my father's hired servants has food to spare? And here I am starving to death. He realized that for everyone that's in my father's house is better off than me that's here. Me that went away and tried so many things. They're actually better off. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against you. I sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. It's amazing that he came to his senses. He realized what is going on. Sometimes we must take stock. It's not a shame to take stock and to see companies do it every year. So we just take stock and say, this is what's going on in my life. And we just get real. It's easy to have the mask on and just to run. But sometimes you get to a place where you run on empty. I know that in marathons, you know, I like long distance running. It's like they say you hit the wall. It's like you come and everything feel amazing, and then it's, ooh. you just stop. Sometimes we hit the wall while running after a lot of stuff. And then it's nothing to be ashamed of. It's just to say, okay, this is where I am right now. I'm going to come back. I'm going to walk back. And God will honor you. Every time when we turn, every time when we come back, God will honor you. Don't believe the lies that there's going to be shame and what if this one, no, and that one, what about that one? Because I'm this guy and I've got all this stuff worked out. You know, each one got their own things that they're worried about. I often thought about that in the mall. You like your hair to be nice, and ladies see you. But all the ladies are just worried about their own hair. No one is really looking around. Or maybe it's not true. But there's so many stuff that we worry about. But there's so many stuff that everyone is worrying about. So everyone is not looking at us. we can come back. Usually what happens, I'm always so thankful for anyone that turns, anyone that comes and say, Yaku, this is what's happening in my life. I've messed up. This is where I am right now, and I'm turning back. And every time I see our God's power and God's blessing, God's healing power, everything just comes, floods in again. And this boy, when he was walking back, while he was a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son, he threw his arms around him and kissed him. And this is what we will experience. This is what I've experienced in my life when I come back. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against him. He's just being honest. But the father said to his son, quick, bring the best robe, put it on him. Put a ring on his finger, sandals, bring him everything, a fattened calf. Let's have a party, let's dance. This guy's returning. He's coming back home. And now that's all amazing. And his father gave him a new identity, restore him in the house. And now there's the older son. This is the other guy. This is the guy that he didn't rebel. He didn't run off with everything. So basically everything that is there that's still left, if his father now split the fatted calf and all of that, is actually now the older son's. Because the younger son took all his stuff. And now he heard, you know, when someone is partying in your street, you hear the music. That he heard there's something going on here. Okay, and he's like, what? And he came near the house, he heard music and dancing, so he called one of the servants to ask him, and they said, your brother has come. He replied, your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. His father went out, pleaded with him, come. He said, look, it's all. And he said to his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you. I've never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home. It's interesting that he, I don't know if he heard what happened or where the son was, or that he followed him on Facebook, that he knew all this stuff. Because he knew exactly where the son was. And he said, this is what he's done. He's been with the prostitutes and he's all this stuff. And now he's back safe. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf. And listen to this. He said, my son, the father said, you are always with me. Everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead, is alive again. He was lost and is found. But sometimes we are like the older son. We are in the house, but we're still trying. We do all the stuff. We just do all the stuff. We also want the father's stuff. We also want the father's blessing. The younger son wanted the stuff and he rebelled. He ran away with everything. The older son was stayed in the house and he just worked. He just work. I want stuff. And Jesus came and said, This is all yours. You are son in my house. Come. Everything I have is yours. And some of us, we are like the oldest son. We are just religious. We're just doing all the stuff. And we're trying to do stuff. And Jesus comes and he says, come to me. Just come again to me and lay down and all the efforts. And allow me to touch your heart. Allow me to do something special in your heart again. And I will receive. That party is also, Jesus said to the oldest son, come in. And to the younger son, come in. Let's celebrate. Because both of you guys are actually lost. Come home. And it's amazing that we may see something of the heart of God. And just lastly, I'm just going to jump to Luke 23. It is when at the cross, the two thieves. Just gonna. I don't know if I have it here. But we know the guys that Jesus, when he was on the cross and being crucified, and the two thieves hanging next to him. The Can you just go for me to Luke 23? Let me get it here. But the amazing thing is what they were both knowing who this guy is. They know Jesus being crucified, and they say, "You're the king of the Jews," and this is all that's happening. And this is, but then the guy start making accusations, the one hanging next to Jesus. There. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. And when they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. And then one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "And aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other one rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" He said, "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." And then he said, "Jesus remembers me." That's all that he said. This is now a guy that he has all his the baggage, all the stuff in his life. He's been crucified, and he looks back at his story, it's just bad. And he said, "Just Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Today." So now this guy, he comes into heaven, and the guy says, "So tell me your story. Tell me, how did it all happen? Tell me your amazing. When did you give your life to the Lord? When did it start?" He said, "Man, my life was messed up from the start to the end. I just sneaked in the back door. I just said, 'Jesus remembers me.' And here I am." And he got fast-tracked. He's right there. And that's the God that we serve. That's the God we serve. He said, "Come in, come to me. Come." Sometimes we like the youngest son, we rebelled, we run off, we want stuff, we want so many things. And then sooner or later we'll find out that it's not working out. It's just empty promises. It's those pictures that were cropped. Well, sometimes we can be here and we're just doing the right stuff, but we don't really have relationship with Jesus. Or maybe we were there, and then the devil come and he just cause confusion, and like John or Peter, and we go back to other stuff. And Jesus is saying, "Come, come to me. I am the bringer of life. I am the bread of life. I will satisfy you. I will satisfy all your needs. Everything that you trust God for." I've got this this thingy. When you go to Nedbank, I don't know which bank you guys are. Only the church account is of Nedbank. Then you get these tickets. They want to give you a number and you must stand in the queue. So sometimes I like to pray this, well, maybe you want to call it crazy prayers. This is not just relationship with God. So we are in a relationship, and I was sitting there one day and I said to the Lord, I just want to know again that you hear my prayers. That's all that I want. Nothing else. No breakthrough, nothing else. And I had this ticket in my hand. I said, it would be so amazing if they can call my number now. If I can jump the queue. So they called out the number and they said, that one, T75, you can come. And so I checked. I said, wow, it's my number. So I walked forward and I said to the lady, I said, why did you call my number? She said, I'm not sure. It just moved up. And I said, that's the God we serve. That's the God we serve. That sometimes we've got a prayer on our heart, we think it's a crazy prayer, we think, I can't ask this, I can't do this. And all that God wants is Jesus wants relationship. He said, let's be real. Let's come to me. And give me those crazy prayers. And the storm might not go away. I realized that this year. the storm, sometimes the storm, it doesn't go away. Maybe it will go away later, but it's actually fine to walk with God. There's a place where we can have peace that surpasses all understanding. And I don't know your stories, I don't know where you're at, and I know that sometimes there are things that happen in our life that it's rough. There's many things that sometimes we say, Lord, I don't see how anything good can come from this. I don't see how I'm going to come through this. But I've learned that God is good and God is faithful. And I've learned it everywhere in many situations. And I trust that you guys will experience the same thing. And I know you will have stories, but hold on to those stories. Hold on to what God has done for you. Hold on to the promises that God has given you. Hold on to the words that God has given Shofar Durban. And you guys being here, you're going to move beyond this place. It's going to be great and awesome here. And then you guys, then you're going to grow. Because that's the God we serve. He's moving with us. He's taking us with. He's doing a lot of stuff. And I want to encourage you, wherever you're at, whatever you're going through, I trust that these things from the Word, there's many others. Read the Bible and say, Lord, are you that place in this is City 9, and where the widow and the boy on the stretcher, they walked out. And Jesus was walking there. And he just looked and he just had compassion on her. He just see the boy on the stretcher. And those times it was, nobody touched those things. Nobody touched the dead. Jesus walked up and he touched. And something happened. So all I'm saying, invite Jesus into your story. Because your story is part of a bigger story. Your story is part of God's story. And God brings redemption. He make right, he make new. Maybe you can come up down. I just want us to sing a song together. And we just respond to the Word of God. It's going to take a moment. I believe that when we come together on a morning like this, we get encouraged. We see God. But when we walk out of that door, then God is still with us. When you walk into your company, you go sit in front of your computer, God is there. At home, God is there. Whatever is your story, God is going with us. And we can say, Lord, what are you busy doing? And then you bring those things. Because God wants relationship. You just want to hear what's on your heart. And I've seen actually the most miracles and crazy stories. It happened just in life, everywhere. Just walking. Just saying stuff. Okay, I'll tell you just a quick one about my car. I think it will encourage someone. I drove into a braai in the Cederburg, like a Baksteen braai. So when you drive into that, then your car is damaged. And it will cost you a lot of money to fix it. So I was driving with this crash for a long time. And one day I said, I'm not sure if I was praying or what. I said, Lord, it would be so amazing if someone can just crash into my car and fix everything. I've never been in an accident until 2 weeks after that. Sitting at the robot, waiting for the light to turn green, and qua! And I said, praise the Lord! I think this is it. I think this is it. And I walked out and I saw the girl and she got out of her car and I said, hey, I studied with you. What a blessing to see you again. And she said, Yaku, I'm so sorry. I said, don't worry. And she said, my insurance will fix it, everything. And it was just amazing. I even had cash left after that. And I realized that God, yeah, that's... I decided to give money, and then I got quotes, and then I found another guy that can fix it for cheaper. So then they said, said, so what about all of this? That the bride damage. And he said, yeah, that's fine, we can do all of it. And it just worked out well. So you bring your crazy prayers, you bring whatever's on your heart. Not necessarily everything is going to change. But you just bring it to a place of God. And you say, Lord, we're going to walk together. Because it's worth it. It's worth it. And guys, there's no other way. Everyone is running after stuff. We know we've run after stuff. We know the empty promises and all of that. The world want to tell you a lot of stuff. Being here following God, it's worth the journey. Let's stand. Let's just sing together and we bring our hearts before the Lord. And maybe you want to pray with me today over someone here. Then I want to invite you. Just do that. Don't be shy. Just sometimes it's just us coming and say, Lord, I just want to come back. Lord, I just need a touch. I just need someone to call my number. Because I'm not sure if my prayers are being heard. I'm in a difficult space on the boat. I'm just floating. Or just God remembers me. Let's just sing.